I mean, at the end of the day, it isn't how something looks, it's how it functions. And we live in houses and we see lots of plans that look pretty, but they just don't work.
That's Robert Whitehouse, and this is the Homestyle Green podcast. G'day and welcome back to another episode of Homestyle Green. This is the podcast dedicated to inspiring people to make a better place to live. And this week on the show, I have got an interview with Robert Whitehouse of Whitehouse Builders. He's based in Christchurch, and he's also got a second company called Energy Efficient Homes, which is does what it says. He's getting into passive house, and he's doing some really good things about educating the market and consumers, and also helping consumers to really understand what true energy efficiency and comfort means. Before we get into my interview with Robert, I just want to do a quick shout out to a couple of the sponsors for the show. This episode of Homestyle Green is brought to you by Lab Design. Lab Design stands for Livable, Authentic, Bespoke Design and Consulting. Check them out at labdesign.com.au. Lab Design have certified passive house designers and degree qualified building designers to assist you with a range of design services, from feasibility studies and 3D rendering through to construction documentation. They have a full range of passive house design services, including PHPP energy modeling and thermal bridge analysis, to make sure your future building performs the way it should. Check them out today for performance-based building design that just makes sense. labdesign.com.au. This episode is also brought to you by Enduro Builders. Enduro Builders are Australia's most sought-after builders of high-performance and sustainable homes. Just take a look at their stunning projects by visiting endurobuilders.com.au. With bases in both Western Australia and South Australia, Jackson and his team at Enduro Builders have proven their focus on bridging the gap between sustainability and cost. Chat with them today to see how they can help you achieve your goal of creating a home that really performs and will provide you with the true comfort that you deserve now and into the future. Whether it's a low-energy home or a full certified passive house, Enduro Builders are a great option for your project. Check them out and contact them today at endurobuilders.com.au. Now let's get into this week's episode. This is my conversation with Robert Whitehouse of Whitehouse Builders and Energy Efficient Homes. And I started out by asking Robert how he got into building in the first place.
A long time ago now. I started as an apprentice carpenter in the UK. Mm-hmm. Worked over there in various on-site building. It sort of like they have different areas over there, I suppose, than here. I did building sites. I did inside factories working there. I manufactured kitchens for a long time when I was over in the UK before I came to New Zealand. And then when I came to New Zealand, I took a job after a while as a carpenter again and got into the building timber frame houses here.
Was that an easy transition to come with your experience qualifications straight into New Zealand?
It's easy to do, but there's a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. Because building is very different in New Zealand than it is in Europe and the UK.
You step back in time?
No, I don't. Let's just say different. Right. I'd worked in Germany as well for a while. So,
right.
And the thing is that, you know, over there, people are very more forward thinking about energy efficiency and that sort of thing. So, from that point of view, yes, it was. I remember when I first arrived here over 20 years ago now, and they were putting polystyrene directly onto onto timber frame houses, and I was asking them, where's the vapor barrier on the inside? What's that? Mm. You know, so, and obviously we know that they paid the penalty for doing that in how they were doing it, and there was no cavity, there was no proper building papers. So that was a bit of a surprise to me when I first saw that.
Because
I did that when I was at building college in the UK when I was 16 years of age, which is going back now 40 years. You know,
as a builder, you were learning some of that building, what we would say now is building science of vapor control, vapor barrier or control layers, all that sort of detail. which I know for a fact that builders apprentices don't learn even today as standard.
Yeah, no, I did that at building college. I remember I had to detail it in the drawings and things like that and understand what a moisture barrier was and a vapor barrier and how it works. Yeah, so, yeah, obviously, even then they were looking at that over in Europe and what they were doing.
Yeah. So jumping back to you arrive in New Zealand, carry on building. What type of houses were you building when you made that move?
Building here, just standard houses. I worked for one of the housing companies when I first got into building here. I was working for them as a carpenter for short time, really. I suppose it was a matter of weeks, and then I was their construction manager, and I did that for a couple of years, and then I decided that one of the first jobs that I did in the building industry here was I was in a field in the middle of Rolleston, and it was knocking pegs in the ground, and I'm thinking, why are you doing this?
Right.
and I remember saying to one of the guys, why did you do it like this? Well, we've always done it like that. And I said, well, I can see that. I says, but, you know, Noah built the ark. I said, but they don't do it like that anymore. And I just started to think of a system, and I'm thinking, how can I make this easier? And I actually left that company after a couple of years, and I went and set up a specialist foundation system to make doing foundations quicker and easier to do. And I probably was doing that and fairly successful, but I'd got to the point with it where it was an idea, and I'd spent money and I developed this. And
so this is concrete slab foundations.
Yeah. This was for doing foundations, and I developed this system, and I got it to the point to where I could get it as quick as I could get it without making some radical changes. And then what happened at the same time was one of the housing companies gave me a job, and they took it back off me because of the builder didn't have enough work. And I thought, oh, if it goes quiet, we won't have any work. So then I went back building, and we still did the foundations, but I just got busier and busier building houses for companies and people, like, you know. So I ended up training my own apprentices, building teams of builders. And then I was probably in quite a comfortable position where we built the odd house ourselves. I was subcontracting my labor to a couple of the housing companies, and I was also employed as the construction manager and taking care of all the jobs for them.
Right.
So two things happened. Was one was that I did a job and they didn't pay me because they'd underpriced it, and I'd done a lot of work for them. I thought, oh, okay. And also that we had the earthquake, so I thought, no, this is time now to do it for myself. And I always had a passion about energy efficiency and wanting to do things better.
That was a few years there you'd spent building essentially code compliant houses, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I had my own ideas about things, and you know, but when you're working for somebody, they want to do a specific way, you do it the way they want to do it. And, you know, they had a formula that works. It might not be very good, but it works to the market that's here. I turned around and thought, right, okay, now's the time. And then we started to look and do our own thing more and more. And the passion really was to build energy efficient houses. And how can we do that? How can we do it efficiently? How can we do it so that it's affordable for people, you know, and what different options are there? So, and we built SIPS houses. We've built framed houses with ProClimber. And we've looked at one or two different ways of producing energy efficient houses that are efficient and work.
What was the biggest challenge? You said that the earthquake was a bit of a catalyst there, and you make that switch, and you go to set up your own business. That's fine, but you need clients, obviously, for that to work. What was your biggest challenge in getting that White House Builders up and running?
That's hard to say, really, because I was doing most of it anyway, so it was just really a transition across. I mean, when I manufactured kitchens in the UK, I'd run sales teams and I'd done a lot of the other side of it. So for me, I don't know whether it was so much of a challenge. We design, we have our own in-house architectural designers and things. And I think that's probably been the biggest challenge in getting people who understand energy efficiency and teaching them. I don't want to say any names, but I get plans on my desk that people come to me with architecture on and they're supposed to be energy efficient. And they haven't got the first clue about what thermal bridging is. You know, and I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, it's not like, you know, but at the end of the day, the architect knows how to design, but I just wish some of them would go and get some proper training.
Yeah.
Of course, it's available to them to do that. Like, yeah. You know,
and by proper training, you're talking about energy efficiency, maybe looking at passive house,
yes,
that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, go on a passive house course, learn about it, learn about what thermal bridging is, learn how it works. At the end of the day, it isn't how something looks, it's how it functions. And we live in houses and we see lots of plans that look pretty, but they just don't work.
Yeah. You mentioned that you've got your own team. Is that a contracting team or you actually employ architectural designers?
We employ them. So we employ them in-house.
And that must be quite unique for a building company to have a small company at least, to have a whole team of your own designers like that?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's unusual. But, the thing is that we want to get them all, certainly over the next couple of years, passive house certified in what they're doing. We really want to push along that way. What helps for us is that, from a building point of view, is that when we design something, we want to design it so it's practical, so it works. We also want to design it so that the designer has an understanding of how much things cost. You know, because again, a lot of people who come from an architectural background, they don't have the first idea of how much a certain cladding costs, and what's the practicality of putting cedar on a house that's up on a hill that you've got to scaffold every 2 years to coat it.
But it looks nice and it wins awards.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't win awards when you've got to get up there and paint it every 12 months. So it's just sort of like putting the practical side together with let's make it look nice, but also let's make it so that, you know, the people enjoy to live there and they're not trying to maintain the house every year because of things like that.
Are you at a stage now where you get good clients coming to you, or do you have to be selective about who you're prepared to build for?
No, we get good clients coming to us. I do some seminars at the home shows and things like that. And I think one of the main things is that I think if you explain things to people so that it's simple, they understand it. They get it. And a lot of people, I think, who are looking for energy efficiency tend to do the research. And because of that, you know, they've looked around and they've gone and spoken to different people. And it's quite interesting. I had a client who we're building for this year and they've taken a long time. They've been talking to us for the last 18 months, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And they've been trying to decide on this and that, trying to decide on that. And they've been around lots of different energy efficient people, let's say, here in Christchurch. And I asked the client a question not so long ago, and I said to them, they'd been on one of the tours that they have, and I said to them, how many houses have you seen that are actually energy efficient? And he said, not many. Because he's learned what really is and what really isn't. You know, because he's got a lot of knowledge now, because he's been around learning everything else, he sees the mistakes that people, because some people want to jump on the bandwagon and they don't want to do the work that's required to go and do it properly. They just want to do it so they think they can make more money at it. Where for me, it's like, hey, it's a big market. It's something that's growing, but let's do it properly. you know, let's go and get the training, let's go and get this done, and, you know, and help people properly. So yeah, it's quite interesting, really.
How do you feel about the market here? Having, you know, you had your first experience of doing the stuff that you're doing now, back in the UK in some ways, and then you've sort of seen the market, the local market here in New Zealand, change. Are you confident about where things are heading?
Oh, very much so. Yes. People are becoming far more aware. People are becoming far more aware, much more discerning, I think, in their choices. And they're understanding more and more. And the thing is, as they understand more and more, they'll become more demanding. You know, if there's one thing I could change, it would be developers of subdivisions and how they set subdivisions out for the proper use of the sun. Even for standard houses, would make a massive difference to how people live. And, you know, I see things where people, you know, it looks nice and it's pretty for the subdivision and everything else. But practicality, I mean, hey, we've got this ball of fire in the sky that's free passive energy, and we don't use it. And a lot of it comes because when you know, somebody goes to buy a piece of land and it's like, well, where's the sun? Oh, it's over there, but living's here, you know. And so, yeah, it's really some very basic things. We could change a lot of things.
Do you think that's got a lot to do with designing for cars and having the double garage facing the street as being the key driver?
I think, yes, that could be the case, but I think it's also the fact that they just want to get as many sections in as they can into a subdivision, you know, is that they, I mean, by all means, you can get them in, but just by the road layout and tweaking it slightly so that we get in the sun where we want it. And I mean, one of the biggest problems with, and I say this to people, one of the biggest problems with energy efficient houses is overheating. You know, you've got a big west facing window. You are going to cook, and we only suffer from the cold in New Zealand probably 4 months of the year.
Sorry, I just started to break up there a little bit, Robert. You were talking about okay. The overheating. So the 4 months of the year is a heating period for us. So that's the time that we remember the most because we're uncomfortable. What are the most important strategies for dealing with heat throughout the whole year?
Orientation of the house, correct shading to the north, doing away with windows, big west-facing windows that's going to let the too much heat in the house. If you're going to do that, well, then have something that's going to cool it, you know, and balance it out. But ideally, I mean, I think what will come into New Zealand in a not too distant future at an affordable price will be outside shading. So sunshades on the outside of the windows, you know, that's one thing we need to do, and bring the window inside the insulation. So we recess it into the wall with that richly Venetian blinds on the outside.
Yeah,
because that's what we need.
Yeah, I see that. So much I walk around and see these beautiful wooden blinds on the inside, and I think, oh, if only they were on the outside, they would work so much better.
Yes.
Because in summer they'd stop the heat getting in before it's inside the house. And I mean, that's what you see in Europe as well, with shutters on the outside that are actual working shutters, not just aesthetic things stuck on the outside, to keep the weather out from the outside as well. So I think you're right. Hopefully we will see proper window shading and window treatments that are external.
Well, the thing is with the heat, once it's in the house, it's in the house.
Mm.
And, you know, people say, oh, I'll close the curtains. Well, you can't, because your curtains become, if you took the temperature of your curtains become radiators.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, and yeah, I mean, we've got a very good thermal imaging camera, and we've taken some pictures of some windows, and it's amazing, you know, that where the heat transfer is coming through, and people are quite shocked when they see them pictures, and it's like, well, You know, it's 20, 25, 26 degrees in the room. And the one of them is a picture of a thermally broken window, and the aluminium is actually 39 degrees.
Yeah, yeah, which is, you know, like, yeah, like you say, it becomes a radiator.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to pick up on something you mentioned earlier. You made the distinction between awareness and education. And I think what you're alluding to is the fact that people have wanted or said they've wanted energy efficiency and sustainability for ever, or certainly for a long time. What's the difference, though, between saying that, knowing that you want that, and actually knowing what it means?
Oh, that's a good question, because a lot of people don't understand that. You know, yes, I want an energy efficient house. And I mean, the greatest thing is experience. And one of the things I do say to people is that once you live in an energy efficient house, you are not going back to a standard house.
And is that because the bills are lower or because it feels different?
No, I think, I think the financial saving is well down the list, because when people actually live in these homes, they start to feel the comfort. They start to feel the health benefits. You know, if you've got a heat recovery system that is introducing fresh air into every room 365 days of the year, it's filtering the carbons, the toxins, and everything else that's in the air out of the air that's coming in. So the air quality in the house is much better than the outside. You go and have a shower. You come out of your shower. I mean, one of the clients said to me recently, you know, they got an open shower, and he said, like, she walked back in the shower later. She said the whole thing's dry. She said it's amazing. She said the moisture, it just deals with all the moisture. You know, she said things like you wouldn't appreciate, and just the feeling of energy of like people getting a good night's sleep because the CO2 levels in the room are not high. They've got plenty of oxygen and things like that. These are benefits that they don't even realize when they start thinking of building an energy efficient home. I mean, the real reason for energy efficient homes isn't just, okay, it is going to pay for itself over time. It is going to save me money. But the real benefit is health and comfort.
Yeah. And so, you've kind of alluded to it, and you mentioned doing seminars. But how do you sell that stuff? Because I'm looking at your website right now, and it kind of, there's parts of it that look like any other housing company website. You know, not in a derogatory way. I mean, they are beautiful, stunning houses, but the images there are all the typical images that sell houses, which is the kitchen and the bathroom. And you know, the front door and how inviting it looks. How do you, I mean, you can't take a photo of the warmth of a house after you've had a shower. How do you communicate that?
Well, I mean, two things is we have two websites. So we have White House Builders and we also have Energy Efficient Homes. The reason we have two companies is that when you asked me a question earlier about how do we get, you know, when we started and things like that, because the first thing we wanted to do was build a passive house. And we ended up settling for building a SIPS house at the time. And the Energy Efficient Homes Limited came about because I found out that Energy Efficient Homes Limited wasn't registered. So I thought, okay, so we registered the name and took the company. And so that's how we ended up with the name Energy Efficient Homes. Yeah. So going back to your question about how do you get people to understand or realize the benefits of it, that's very hard. I mean, at the end of the day, is that you can show pictures of families and warmth and things like that, but I don't know the answer. One thing that we are looking at doing is that we're looking at changing our website and also starting to put a lot of things online about what we talk about at seminars and things like that, and giving people information and, you know, sort of explaining things to them in detail on where they can sit down on and like a YouTube clip for 5 or 10 minutes and it's explained to them so that they get the understanding of what the benefits are, you know, of things that of things that we learn. So, and I think that's the way to go, rather than having pictures of on your website, like you say, because these people want to know, you know, I talk about a drain in the shower, you know, well, how does that work? It's saving energy. Well, it's heating the water from the cold water that's coming in your shower. It's heating that water from the water that's going out, because it's going around the loop that's coming out of it, and you're taking the energy of what's going out of what's coming in. Oh, that's a good idea. But it'll pay for itself. So, so it's little things like that can people and if you show that in a little clip of how it works, everything else, then people get it. So it's just, as I say, it's little things and pointing that out to them, and we'll do quite a bit of that work, I think, over the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
And what's about there?
Where do you see your brands, your company, but also the industry in general in the next 5 to 10 years?
So for us, we're without giving too much away, we're looking at we're constantly looking how we can do it. How can we make this more affordable? We're probably around about 2,350, 2,400 for energy efficient homes with everything in it. So good windows. So
per square meter.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So which is not bad. I mean, that's cheaper than a high end architecturally designed house.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the thing is that it's very competitive with, you know, people have come to me and said, how can you do it for that? Because, you know, they've ordered the quotes of people and they're a lot higher than that.
Yeah, you'd be up $3,000, even $4,000 or $5,000 a square meter for some architectural homes.
Yeah. So we're constantly trying all the time, how can we make it more affordable and putting together combinations. I mean, I say to people, I'm not there to sell a particular product. We're here to put together products that work. And the way we do it is we set it out for the client and say, well, look, you know, this is your windows, this is your system, this is how it's going to work, and this is all, it's all going to complement each other. And at the end of the day, the client can go as far down that line as they want in energy efficiency, or as much as they can afford and what they want to do. So I see the future as far as energy efficiency is, it's only growing. And I think I would like to think in the next 5 to 10 years that we've got better controls on the whole of the building industry, that government changes some legislation and makes people improve it right the way through as they learn and see the light in what some people are doing. I think that the companies that are here now have an opportunity to go from strength to strength in what they're doing. It's a small growing market, but it's getting bigger and bigger every year. And I see it as a growth, certainly a growth industry within the building industry.
Do you blow a door test all of your houses?
We do.
Regardless of whether they're going for passive house or not?
Correct. Yes.
And is that something that you educate your clients about, or you just kind of go ahead and do it?
No, we tell them about it. I mean, at the end of the day, we tell them why we blow a door testing, what we're looking for. They can come along for the blow door test while we're doing it, if they like. We've had clients do that and see what's going on. We tell them, obviously, what the standards are and things like that. And we basically look for an energy efficient house. We're looking to get it below one air change per hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not looking to get it to 0.6 as per the passive house standard. We can do, but it takes a lot more work to get it to there.
Yeah.
With taping and things like that. But we generally end up with about 0.7, 0.75, 0.8, round about there in what we're doing.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's a good standard for what we're doing. And I mean, we have our own blower door, so it makes it a bit easier for us.
Yeah.
So Tanya's a certified tester, so she comes and does it, and yeah, it's so that's what we do.
Once you've done those, the basics that we talked about, the orientation, the size of the glazing, what are the biggest bangs for buck in terms of good outcomes, the things that you know that you need to incorporate into that design to make it a low energy or a passive house?
So, well, I mean, your first thing is your biggest surface areas. So your walls and your ceiling, mm-hmm. and your system. I mean, we use ProClimber, and so that's your first investment.
So specifically about those, what do you need to do with those surface areas?
Well, we would be with the barriers. So you've got your moisture barrier and your vapor barrier.
Right.
So you're making your airtight layer.
Yep.
In what you're doing. Then are your biggest. You're talking about your biggest return.
Right.
You know, bang for your buck. So, you know, what you don't want downlights in your ceiling going all the way through while heat's going in and going out, as people do in a standard house. And when you've got your envelope sealed because you've got your ceiling barrier in and you've got your wall barrier in, you've taken care of quite a lot of your air loss.
Yep.
And then your next biggest area is your windows. But your biggest proportion of your window is your glass. So, yep. You know, the way I explain to people, your first upgrade with your glass is from low E to argon gas. Then your next step is to go from aluminium to thermally broken, and then UPVC or a thermally broken wood, timber and aluminium, you know, because depending how far you want to go. But the end of the day, the better the quality of the window, if you go into a tilt and turn window and you've got proper seals, the house will perform much better.
Do you still use any non-thermally broken aluminium framing?
Not on energy efficient houses.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No. I tell people straight is that, you know, we will not guarantee getting the house below one air change an hour if you're going to use thermally broken windows. If you're going to use UPVC, tilt and turn, or, you know, a thermally broken timber and aluminium, which is a good quality one, well, then we can. But certainly you're not going to get the house performing with a blower door test if you've got aluminium windows in.
Right, so that's one of the critical factors. If you want to get down below that one air change at 50 Pascal, you need to be going away from aluminium and to a more high-performing material.
Yes, yeah. You need to go away from aluminium, but you also need to go away from it's your locking mechanism.
Right, right.
It's your seals on your windows. Because if you've got a hinge on one side of the window and a handle, you know, a lock on the other end, then and you put that window under pressure, it'll leak.
Right.
It'll either push away or push into the frame.
Yeah.
It's going to leak.
So the other feature is you're talking about typical European style joinery where it's whether or not it's a tilt and turn, it's a locking mechanism that pulls the window in tight on double if not triple seals.
Correct.
And basically seals like a bank vault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. And that makes a significant difference in the air changes of the house.
And is that often a challenge for the budget?
Yes, it is. Some of the prices of windows, I think, I fall off my chair when I get some of the prices.
Because I'm guessing that's one of the biggest single components of the costs if you're getting to that level of performance, is it? The windows and the doors?
Yes, it can be. I think there's a few people now though that are trying to bring windows in from overseas, and what that is doing is that it'll bring the price down.
Yeah,
and that can only be good for the market. I mean, yeah. I know I was at the Passive House Conference over in China in September last year, the International Passive House Conference.
Yep,
and you know, one of the things I was looking at was suppliers over there. And
yep.
I've been speaking to one or two of the Chinese window. Well, I say Chinese manufacturers, but they're actually German. And the quality, phenomenal. Passive House certified windows.
Yeah.
And we've had some price for us on some of the jobs that we've got coming up. and unbelievable. Unbelievable price, triple glazed passive house certified window for the same price as a double glazed UPVC here.
And
that includes freight and everything across. And it shouldn't be that, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody's making lots of money on it.
And I
believe that if we can make, I'd like us to be in a position in the next few years where we're making houses that that people can afford to buy, that the government can afford to build for council houses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get that down and get it to what it should be and everything else, the more we can do that and the more we can take care of people who are impoverished and stuff like that, the better society will be.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And that's where I'd like to see us going in what we're doing. You know, I don't want to be building a house that's like $2 or $3 million because, you know, the windows are $250,000 of that. You know, I'd like to be building lots of houses where people can live in them and get the health benefits and we can help everybody.
So clearly that does need some alternate solutions in the New Zealand market, because that is one of the key components, the doors and windows. So if we're going to do the performance at an affordable price, we need some good options in that space.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you got surface areas, walls, windows, walls, ceilings, floors, then your windows. What's next?
Well, the next area you're going to lose energy through is normally through the floor. And then it's how do you, depending on the structure, we live in a shaky out. So we have different ideas on how we're going to insulate the foundation, the edge of the foundation, or the floor. At the end of the day, you've done the three sides of the box, you've done your walls and your ceilings. So you've only got to do your floor. And if you can do that and make that so you're not losing energy or getting cold air coming through there, then you've got the right ingredients for make it a passive house or energy efficient house.
And then I guess it's getting your ventilation sorted, and if you do need to supply any heating, once you've done all that, then a fairly modest heating and potentially some cooling, hopefully not, if you've designed it well enough.
Yes. I think that one of the things that we suffer from in New Zealand is that, as far as a passive house is concerned, is that we want to live in houses that are too big for us.
As far as
a passive house is concerned. So,
right.
You know, is that being realistic with people? Again, I say, look, we can build this house and we can make it passive house, but you're going to need, in the middle of winter, when we get those days where it's, you know, in Christchurch we get days in June and July where we might get a week of it being overcast and rain, or a couple of weeks and it's cold, it's sort of like, yeah, a bit foggy in the morning and things like that, where we're getting no sunlight. The house is going to cool down. And your body heat, two of you living there, is not going to be enough to heat the house. So you're going to need something, only in a small way, just to boost that heat that will make it comfortable for you. And it doesn't need to be anything big. You don't need anything substantial to do that. But again, it's just being aware of keeping it comfortable.
Of
what it is. Because I mean, I wouldn't like to live in a passive house and it'd be 16 degrees, you know, because I can have a little heater on the wall that's going to cost me next to nothing to run. And it's going to keep it 21, 22 degrees all year round. And with shading, if you know what you're doing with the shading in the summer, then and you keep away from the windows, or you can shade on the outside of your window and you can get your blinds, well, then you can keep it cool. You don't need any cooling at all. But I mean, with the heating, I think if people don't want to compromise and live in a box or a house that is small enough for the number of people living in there, where their body heat is going to raise the temperature. Although they do say at passive house, if your house is cold, invite your friends round.
It'll soon warm it up.
Yes, which it does.
Now, you've you talked about airtightness, the fact you do blow door testing as standard. Obviously, you understand the benefits of that and the importance of that. Does it ever come up as an issue for your clients? Are they nervous about airtightness and being sealed inside?
No. I mean, I suppose it depends how you explain it to them. I mean, at the end of the day, the walls still breathe. Uh-huh. The building papers, like with ProClimb, the system is designed to breathe both summer and winter. So you're getting air movement. You're just stopping the moisture going through. The idea of the blower door testing is that you don't get unwanted drafts.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have experience of living in an old villa type where, you know, every time the wind blows outside, you see the curtains move.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you don't want.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the idea of what we're doing. And if we can stop the drafts coming through and we can control the air movement, you've got fresh air coming through the heat recovery system 24/7. So you've got a lot more fresh air coming into the house, except if it's freezing cold outside, if it's 0 degrees outside and you've got 21 degrees inside.
Yeah.
Well, the fresh air coming in is 18 degrees because it's used the energy of the air going out. So you've only got to heat that air that's coming in another 2 degrees rather than trying to bring it up from, you know, zero again.
Yeah.
And these are the principles. And when people get their head around the principles of what you're doing, and think it just makes sense. It's, yeah, I can understand that now. Like, you know, yeah, I can see where that works.
It sounds like you have a good way of explaining these and probably attracting the right people as well. And like you say, they tend to have been fairly well educated themselves already and know what they want. But also that you're pretty positive about the way things are going and the future. So I really hope that things do go that way. And particularly, I mean, obviously we've got a particular challenge right now with very recent events, but beyond that, I think having people like yourself pushing the boundaries and offering what you do in the marketplace will help hopefully move it forward as more people get exposed to just a better way of doing things.
And the thing is that you know, things are going to change. I mean, okay, we've got the challenge of the current virus that we've got.
Yeah.
But I mean, going forward, there's other challenges that people have. It'll be interesting to see how artificial intelligence in computers affects what we're doing for people within jobs and things like that. Mm. Those that look at it and think this is going to be a positive and I'm going to use this, those will be the ones that prosper.
Yeah,
you know, and the people as well that become more specialized. One thing I say to our designers is that, hey, you know, is that things are going to change in the future. But if you want to be, if you want to be in a job and you want to be sought after, you've got to specialize and know what you're doing.
Yeah,
and people and you'll always have work.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah. I think there's more than one reason for wanting to go down the route of understanding and learning, and as far as the energy efficiency is concerned, I think it benefits. I mean, when you start going to the Passive House conferences and we start talking about global warming and the impacts of that and what's coming for our children and things, it just makes so much sense when you look at how much energy is used in the carbon footprint for building houses and heating and cooling the buildings in the world. Like, you know,
yeah.
So
yeah,
you can certainly I can certainly get up on my soapbox and start talking.
I mean, it sounds like I can hear the enthusiasm and the passion, and I can understand the benefit of you getting in front of people doing seminars, not just for your own business, but for the movement, if you want to call it that, in general, and just inspiring people to build a better place to live, which is what this show is all about. And so it's definitely in keeping with that. And that's why I want to promote companies like yours and the stuff that you're doing. You've mentioned a couple of brand names there already. Where's the best place for people to go and see what you do and to get in touch?
Go to our website, White House Builders or Energy Efficient Homes. I mean, we are in Christchurch, and we build a lot of houses. We probably build as many or more energy efficient houses locally than anybody else in what we're doing. I have people contact me from all over the country, to be honest with you, asking me questions. Happy to help them, happy to also point them into the right directions of people who I know what they're talking about in their region as well. And I've done that in the past, and I've put them onto some good people. I'm happy to help people. I mean, I've had clients come to me and ask me, will I work with their architects? And I said, as long as their architects are quite happy to work with me, I'm happy to sit down and explain things and try and explain thermal bridging and how it's going to work and what we're going to do, because there's a lot of business out there. The more we help each other and the more people we educate, the bigger the market will be for everybody.
Robert Whitehouse there of Whitehouse Builders and also Energy Efficient Homes. Based in Christchurch, but as Robert said, available and quite often gets asked for advice from much further afield. Special thanks again to the wonderful sponsors this month of the Homestyle Green podcast, and that is Enduro Builders. If you're around Adelaide, South Australia, and looking for someone to build you a quality home, then definitely get in touch with Jackson and the team. Check them out at Enduro Builders. Put the links in the show notes, and there's a banner on the home page as well. And also LAB Design, fantastic team. They will help you out wherever you are because they do some really cool stuff with modeling, energy analysis, thermal bridge analysis, and also some PHPP if you want to have a look at how your house is likely to perform before it's built. How did you find this week's show? I'd love to get your feedback. You can email me, matthew@homestylegreen.com. And don't forget to check out the show notes at homestylegreen.com/214 for episode 214. And I'll put some links in there so you can check out Robert's websites as well. Thank you very much for tuning in. Now go make a better place to live.